So let's run down the list again for people who are just tuning in of all of the different diseases that might be affected by the things that are in milk or meat. Could you go? We're talking about like prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, all the Western cancers.
Osteoporosis.
That screws up right there because we're supposed to drink milk to fight off osteoporosis.
I know, and that largely is due to a very effective marketing campaign over some years. It was greatly influenced by the dairy industry, I have to say that. We now know and have known for a long time that high milk intake, high calcium intake, high animal protein intake, which comes from dairy, is associated with increased risk of osteoporosis, not the reverse.
How could that happen? It's supposed to be about, vitamin D and calcium.
Well, that's, as I say, when the dairy industry has, as I think it was in the past year or so, something like $160-some million to advertise their product. And, those of us who are involved in this work don't even have a penny on the dollar of that kind of funding to do this kind of thing. In other words, there's a tremendous influence of the dairy industry on policy development. That's a huge story in itself that the public needs to know. So osteoporosis is something, the different cancers, as I said, colon cancer, heart disease is very much influenced by the consumption of this kind of diet, animal-based foods. Diabetes, autoimmune diseases you just mentioned before, rheumatoid arthritis, of course, lupus, even some of the diseases you would never expect to be associated with diet are, in fact, associated with diet. Things like cataracts and macular degeneration, which is a chief cause of blindness in older people, is my understanding, and Alzheimer's disease. I mean, we're talking about a whole array of what would seem to be disparate kinds of diseases.
Well, what isn't, then? I mean, what isn't affected by what other things that could go wrong aren't associated with animal-based protein diets?
Vitality.
Yeah.
Vitality in the sense of, feeling energetic and being active physically. That's something that's not about disease, but it's about if one is eating a good diet, we're now knowing that you can get better athletic performance, more endurance. This has been shown by some world-class athletes, some of whom I've had to my class at Cornell, who eat this way and achieve these remarkable records that they do by eating that way. That's been known a long time.
Well, what about athletes that, they've got to keep their bulk up. They're doing a lot of weightlifting. My sister-in-law was a vegetarian for 20 years. I mean, from the time I met her, when I was a teenager, to just not too long ago, she was a vegetarian. But she got into weightlifting, and her training and stuff, she really so much enjoyed it, and the only way she felt like she could get those types of dense proteins was through animal consumption, so she stopped being a vegetarian.
That's true. Incidentally, animal protein-based foods will allow bulking of muscle. There's no question about that. However, what we really need to think about is long-term health for those people. I was told by Dave Scott, who was once called the world's greatest athlete, who was in our class, that in the National Football League, the age of death amongst NFL linemen who bulk up on protein, if you will,
right,
their average age of death is in the early 50s. I don't know whether those figures still hold up or not, but he called it the best-kept secret, so maybe I'm overspeaking the statement, but that's what he said.
Couldn't it just be from drugs and hookers getting shot at?
Yeah. So something like that, but the fact is that when people like they consume these enormous amounts of high animal protein-based diets, they get the bulk, yes, and that in the short term is an advantage, I guess. But it turns out that we now know that people who don't do that, instead of getting bulk, they get better muscle tone, more endurance, and certainly better long-term health.
But that would seem to contradict something I read in the book that said that plant-based proteins are nearly as effective as conveying, that type of benefit to your body as meat-based proteins. And I was reading it on one of the charts about kind of comparing animal-based proteins versus plant-based proteins, and it looked fairly comparable.
Yeah, they can be, because keep in mind, any one plant protein we all know is maybe a little bit low in one of the amino acids that allows it not to be used as efficiently as an animal-based food or an animal-based protein. So on a one-on-one basis, that plant proteins, you know, they don't have the same bang for the buck as a plant, as an animal protein on the one hand. But on the other hand, we consume a mixture of animal, I mean, of plant proteins, that each of which tend to compensate whatever deficiencies the other may have. And at the same time, when we're doing that, we're consuming the whole food and we're getting all the antioxidants and fiber and all the rest of it. So, you know, we're getting long-term health.
Okay.
It comes back to the question concerning, you know, the holistic effects of all the food and all the stuff that's in it.
Well, looking at the China study and learning what we can from it, startling implications for diet, weight loss, and long-term health. Dr. T. Colin Campbell is our guest, and we're talking about all of the different ways in which our lives would change if we had a different diet. I will tell you, and this is my own testimony, and I have absolutely no medical research to back this up, but I have wanted to mention this a couple of times in this conversation, so I'll just get it out now, is I have been a long-term sufferer of eczema. And I have the worst kind of eczema, apparently, and it's most prevalent in my hands. And it, so bad has it been in the past that at least on two occasions I've had to go to a hospital when I've had a huge flare-up, a huge breakup, and I've gotten what they call degloved a couple of times, where the eczema was so bad, as you know, degloving, it just, you know, essentially all of the skin on my hands came off, and I had to grow almost new skin. It was really horrid. I mean, so I stopped eating meat last December. And I have, I mean, with the exception of one or two little moments, and they were nothing by comparison, I've had almost no eczema for a year. And I keep telling people I think it's related to, you know, the cessation of meat, but I have nothing to back that up. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, take one, there's a great story that you're just telling, and I'm not surprised, but I tell you to take one more step, and that's to eliminate the dairy you're consuming, because it's likely to be more of a problem than even the meat.
Really? Because I just haven't had any problems.
Well, okay, then you certainly got a big advantage, you know, by cutting out some of the problem. But and maybe it's enough in this particular case. But we do know that dairy, you know, it creates these immunological responses, including, you know, things like acne and other disorders like that, maybe eczema.
It was true for me. I just can't do soy milk. Are you a soy milk drinker?
No, I can't drink soy milk either.
Okay.
That's not where I'm going.
Good.
And I'm just simply saying, you know, to avoid the dairy.